Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top, top once again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had to tighten the plan. Yeah, I got it right in the end. Ay. Now we on top, top once again.
CJ. We testing? We testing? Let's get started. Oh, this is my favorite time of the year. Now, for most people, when the NFL season is over, it's mainly just, you know, kind of stale. You don't really have, you know, much for football unless you're going to be watching the USFL, the, you know, whatever other alternate leagues there are out there. But this is my favorite time of the year. You know why? Because right now we get to see all the different draft prospects. The NFL Combine just happened. We had a bunch of quarterbacks that stood out, a bunch of wide receivers who made their impacts, like Matthew Bolden of Texas. We'll get to that later. But we saw that, and in the NFL too, we saw a massive, massive trade going down today. Or going down, not today, but you know, the last week. You guys know what I'm saying. And it's epic. This would probably change this team's entire future. Their quarterback is going to have more success. So let's get into it. Go grab your popcorn, grab your snacks, because we just chilling right now. This is Game Day Gridiron. Let's get to it. So basically, the big trade that happened over the past week was a Deebo Samuel trade to the Washington Commanders. If I could get the trade details up right now, Deebo Samuel was traded, I believe, for a fourth or fifth round pick to the 49ers. And I'm not going to lie, the 49ers, they had to do this trade. One, because Deebo Samuel is not the player that he used to be when he was on the 49ers in 2021. Ever since that historic year where he had around 1,700 receiving yards, or I'm sorry, 1,700 all-purpose yards. And around 10 touchdowns, he has not gone back to the same place that he was before at all. You know, he hasn't had the production. He's been actually overshadowed, actually, by the additions of Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk. I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble today, y'all. But those two people that they have added since 2021 have been better for the offense than Deebo Samuel has ever been. That's not knocking him off as a player. It's just he hasn't been the same player since then. And you've been paying him this big, big contract, right? And if he's not delivering the amount that he's deserved, then why the hell are you keeping him on the team? It's like having Von Miller for the Bills right now on his current contract, which also, by the way, it's looking like we're about to cut him unless he takes a huge, huge pay cut. But I digress. This trade needed to happen for the 49ers. Now, for the Commanders, on the other hand, this changes everything. I mean, not to say Terry McLaurin isn't your true number one wide receiver, because he still is your true number one wide receiver. I'm sorry to tell it to y'all. But Deebo Samuel can be that kind of person that you can mix in with your team's offense, both in the rushing attack, but also in the receiving game as well. Maybe he's just had one bad year with the 49ers. But overall, I think this is a great, great new start for him. He goes to a whole new organization that could potentially utilize them or utilize his abilities with their superstar quarterback in Terry McLaurin. They keep on upgrading this defense, getting better. They've had probably one of the best cap situations of any team in the entire NFL, by the way. So it's going to be scary. I'm sorry to tell y'all, and this is coming as a New York Giants fan. This is scary. It's scary to see the Washington Commanders be actually good for the first time in well over a decade, or probably for the first time in their franchise's history. You got your QB1, wide receiver 1-2. The defense has gotten better. Y'all made it to the NFC Championship game where y'all lost only to the defending champs. I mean, which is just incredible. That's just amazing how you go from number 2 overall pick in that year's draft all the way to the NFC Championship. But this Commanders trade, I'd have to give it an A-, at least for the Commanders, because you got such a good player. I mean, he's 29 years old, but you got him for good value. You didn't overpay to get him. And then for the, you know, San Francisco 49ers, this was obviously just a, you know, salary cap dump. And it sucks that it had to go out this way. But honestly, eventually you're going to have to start paying players and you're going to start running out of money. I mean, the 49ers don't have all this money just to spend. Brock Purdy is eligible for his contract extension, I believe, this year. And you gave Brandon Ayuk last year. I mean, and you probably have to restructure some of the other contracts on your team. So this makes sense on why they'd move on from him. But overall, it's a D-. You gave up a player of Debo's caliber for much less of what you expected, you know, years ago. Years ago, if you traded Debo, you'd probably get a couple firsts. But ever since then, he's just been not worth the value, and that's why it's a D- for trade on my side, at least. But also, speaking of different trades happening, Davante Adams is on the move. And I know, this sucks if you're a New York Giants fan, but let's be honest here. Y'all weren't going to go anywhere either way. You guys are losing both Aaron Rodgers, you're losing Davante Adams, you're losing all these old guys. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, because I'm going to be honest with y'all, they haven't provided what the Jets needed, at least over the course of a season. It's been one season, but it's obvious with new management and everything like that coming in that Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, they're out there, basically. But there's some interesting trade candidates on the list. The Washington Commanders, I feel like, have been eliminated from the argument just because of the sole fact that they just recently got Brandon Ayuk. But imagine Davante Adams on the Chargers. Like, that's insane. That would be crazy. Imagine Davante Adams on, per se, a team like the Colts. Also insane. Imagine him pairing up with maybe another superstar wide receiver, and maybe Tyreek Hill, he goes down to Miami, maybe that happens, or maybe he could potentially get traded to the Bills. We don't know. I don't think the Jets would want to trade to their rival, but at the same time, it's still possible with the right value that's coming there. It's not that, you know, Davante Adams is bad. It's also because of the fact that, guys, I think he's, 35 years old? I have to double check. I think, Davante Adams is, I believe, around 33 years old, 32 years old. He's going to be 33 next NFL season. But him, he's on the trade block just because of his old age. Alan Lazard is on the trade block. If the Jets don't come up with a trade for both of them, expect them to be cut in the next, 2-3 weeks right now. He's an up-and-coming free agent. Both of them are. Maybe their last chance to get a huge contract in the NFL. I don't know if they are going to get it based on their production this season, but, still. It's just the fall off of the Jets. It has to be studied. It sucks. I don't know this type of pain, because I've never been alive to experience this type of pain. My Giants, they won their Super Bowls they were in. I was happy. We won against Tom Brady 2 times. I wasn't alive to see my Buffalo Bills be that trash, but at least lose all those Super Bowls. I shouldn't say be trash, because they were good at one point. I was just not alive to see it until 2018. But being a Jets fan, this has to be a constant spiral of just depression. It's got to be a constant spiral, just thinking you're going to be good. You guys sign a good player. You guys think you have the answer at your quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And you bring his good old buddy, Davante Adams, when the season doesn't go expected as y'all plan. And y'all think this is going to solve everything. Wrong. Yeah, I don't believe in anything that the Jets are doing anymore. You could sign all this good talent, but it's going to get wasted. Some way or another, they're going to get wasted, and they're not Super Bowl criteria. They've never been Super Bowl criteria at all, ever since their Joe Namath days, and it's going to continue to be like that. It's just a hard truth that you got to realize. Also, more news in NFL free agency. The Los Angeles Rams, I believe, have just agreed to more terms with Matthew Stafford. And this is huge. Huge mainly because he's obviously their franchise guy and you want to keep him in case you want to make a push. But also recently the Rams have been discussing with other teams trades for Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper Kupp, he hasn't been the same player that he was in that dominant 2021 stretch where he won the Triple Crown. But honestly, it's not his fault. He's been, dealing with injuries, stuff like that. He's been dealing with, another rookie sensation in Puka Nacua, who ironically can, do a lot of what Cooper Kupp used to do. But he's younger, he's fresher, he could, do it a lot better. And that's no offense. And Matthew Stafford, and especially his wife Kelly Stafford, did not like that at all. They were like, hey, we're going to do the best move for our future. He wants to win a championship. That's respectful, stuff like that. But even if they did, they did do it. But even if they, didn't sign Matthew Stafford, or if they do sign Matthew Stafford, right, I don't think it makes much of a difference. It doesn't make much of a difference because of the solid fact that your team is not Super Bowl caliber yet, or it's not Super Bowl caliber still. The Rams are not the same team that they were when, they went to the Super Bowl that year in 2021. The defense has gotten a lot weaker. Aaron Donald retired, I believe, last offseason. I mean, parts of your team, like the offensive line, are gone and retired. You guys don't have, same quality running backs. The offense isn't as good. It's been a lot of hell for the Rams ever since that, good season. And it was ironic that they had the worst, next season of any team in NFL history after winning the Super Bowl. They went 5-12 and something abysmal as that. But they don't look to be appearing in a Super Bowl anytime soon. Ironically, though, I think they got a better chance from the Jets. But, whatever, twist your spoon, bud. You know what I mean? But speaking of all that, the Kansas City Chiefs have also done a franchise tag. And I'm going to get to another team that's done that exact thing as well. But the Chiefs have placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on their left guard, Trey Smith. Which, essentially, for y'all that don't understand football.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Knowledge like that, it means that he could negotiate with other teams in free agency. But if no one outbids the Chiefs, then he stays on a team. So there's a difference between non-exclusive and an exclusive franchise tag in that regards. So this move basically just is the same thing as the one they did with L'Jarius Sneed. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. But the same thing they did with Sneed last offseason, they're doing with this guy right now, who was traded to the Titans. And they offered up 2 first-round picks for him. So it was a very good deal. It's very hard to see Smith be given up for 2 first-round picks, but it is possible. It is possible, but I still don't believe they're they're going to be successful with him on the team or without. I ironically feel like he was the second worst on the team, the second worst offensive lineman, only behind that of Jawan Taylor, which that dude just false started every play. It was ridiculous with what they were getting with his false starts. But he was the second worst on the team in terms of blocking, PFF rating. And it's just respectful why they made this decision to maybe let him, you know, walk off or go to whatever deal is the best for him. But at the same time, I'm just wondering who's going to be that backup behind him. Because if you know anything about ball knowledge, like, essentially, if you're playing a guy and that guy is not good and he continues to play, that means, you know, the person behind him isn't as good and is not going to be good enough to play. So if Trey Smith leaves regardless, it's still going to be a huge dent for the Chiefs unless they draft a good offensive lineman in this upcoming draft, or if they get a good, you know, free agency signing. It's not looking very, you know, appetizing for the Chiefs. And it also was announced, I believe, 2-something weeks ago or maybe a week ago. Maybe I'm just, you know, hypothesizing at this point, but Travis Kelce is also coming back for 2025. But it's not really a good X factor. He's a good essential part of their team. I'll give him that. But he's not going to be the Travis Kelce that will put up 1,000 yards on you anymore. He just doesn't have the same, you know, rust on him anymore. He doesn't have that same ability to make, you know, catches for big games like he used to do in his prime. But hopefully, I feel like what the Chiefs are wanting with him for potentially his final year is to kind of be a mentor to that next upcoming, you know, Kansas City tight end. I need to find his name, but hopefully he could be kind of like a mentor in some ways for that new tight end and be a presence in that locker room like he has been over the past several hundred years or several hundred, seasons. Why am I saying several hundred? Several seasons. I don't know why I'm saying 100, but several seasons. And that's their basically the goal they want for him right now. And also, just on the topic of franchise tags, the Bengals also placed their franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins. And it's kind of funny because didn't they do this last offseason? Like, didn't they do this, like, the last offseason that just happened? And now they're doing it again. And Ja'Marr Chase, ironically, funny enough, posted on his story, like, the meme with, I think, was it Joe Burrow or John Cena? It was, like, he was looking at them, like, a strange, you know, way. Like, come on, you're not going to pay him? I'm pretty sure that's what he's insinuating. And if so, then, yeah, I agree with it. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to make the tough decision to let this guy go. I don't think he's going to be a Cincinnati Bengal, even if he does play, you know, this next season. I don't think he's on the Bengals long term. They can't find a good contract to reach with him. Because, think about it. I was talking about this in the last couple of podcasts that happened. The Bengals are screwed cap-wise because of the big cap hit that Joe Burrow left on your team, that Joe Burrow is still leaving on your team right now. And then to add that with the upcoming contracts that you got to give Ja'Marr Chase. Of course, Ja'Marr Chase, won the Triple Crown. He was by far the best receiver in the league this year. You got to re-sign Trey Hendrickson. He was the best edge rusher, the best edge rusher all season long. And he was on the worst defense on the team. You're not going to let, you know, that guy walk in free agency. Obviously not. And then you have T. Higgins. I mean, you can't pay all these players. You can't. And I understand the reason for putting the franchise tag on him. But at the same time, is that really going to lead you to another, you know, deep playoff push? The defense was obviously the problem here. So the expectation would be draft good in the draft, get as many draft picks as possible, make your defense young, and make them have ability to grow. Because if not, you're going to just be wasting Joe Burrow's career, at least in this part of his career, or ask for him to maybe potentially take a pay cut on a signing bonus, you know, to make it not seem larger and push it all down the line. But it, I don't know, man. Just do y'all. It's just I wouldn't agree with this at all. I would rather use that franchise tag on a player, say, like Trey Hendrickson, to maybe negotiate his contract larger, and then maybe trade him, maybe trade, not him, but like T. Higgins to another good team. At least get something for him. Don't let him walk in free agency. Don't be the Giants. Do not be the Giants. Please don't. Please don't send him to the Eagles and have him be a superstar wide receiver free and have him win a triple crown or something like that. As long as that doesn't happen, we're good. But regardless, man, it's also kind of funny because with the Cowboys, they're kind of in the same situation. Now, they didn't have a good season this year. They didn't make the playoffs. They weren't even second in their division to the Super Bowl champs, the Eagles. They were actually deferred team, only in front of my New York Giants, which sucks. But they've had a bad season. Obviously, they need to hit their picks in this upcoming draft. They really do. Their cap situation looks like hell. Like I discussed before in previous podcasts, it's hell because you got to sign Micah Parsons. You got Dak Prescott's enormous contract, which is going to be egregious, I'm sorry, down the line, and having to deal with that. But also, you're going to have to deal with CeeDee Lamb's contract as well. I mean, they account for around, I think, 70% of the salary cap or something like that, something extreme, which is crazy. Your salary cap should never, in no years, go to that many players. It should never go to that. And they really need a hit on this upcoming NFL draft. We got running backs like Brashaw Tutten from Virginia Tech, which has had a very, very solid season for them. And then they could potentially have the opportunity to draft Ashton Jeanty if he's still there with the 12th overall pick, which many people actually have him going to. I think Mal Kiper, I think, for ESPN has him going to the Dallas Cowboys. If he's going to be available at that spot, he most likely will be taken by the Dallas Cowboys, especially for their need at running back ever since Ezekiel Elliott hasn't been the guy that they thought he was, and Tony Pollard, I believe, left as well. But they're showing many, many improvements that they're going to try and make through the draft, especially with running back, offensive line. I really feel like they have to go with DB because you're losing a lot of guys there. And even at middle linebacker, too. I mean, you lost Stephon Gilmore on the cornerback side. I can't remember the exact linebackers right now. But right now, they need to work through that. But they also need to work through the contract extensions with key players, like I said before, and Asa Guiza. Sorry if I butchered it. And, of course, Micah Parsons. So, I mean, you guys are still in a much, much better position than a lot of other teams in the NFL, I'd say. But there's a lot of key players in this upcoming NFL draft. Like, I'm not hating on anything right now. It's just there are so many good players. You got, you know, hidden potentials like Jalen Milroe, which if the right team gets him, right? If the right team gets him, and if the right team develops him the right way, then that team could be set up. He could potentially be the next Lamar Jackson. Or he could be the next Anthony Richardson. I mean, obviously don't play the guy in his first season. Anybody that does that is putting him in a situation to fail, basically. Just like they tried to do with Bryce Young. Although that's two different situations and two different guys with two different abilities. But at the same time, if the third team gets him, it's going to be amazing. And then you got Will Campbell for LSU, the best, you know, left tackle in this entire draft class. Man, he's versatile in his, you know, strength, his ability to, you know, remove edge rushers from the game. He's big, he passes the eye test, all that stuff, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that. But you also got big guys, probably guys that I believe should be number one, and Abdul Carter from Penn State. This man is insane. He is the best. I'm sorry. No disrespect to Travis, but he is the best. He is the best defender in this entire class. You guys should have seen the game against Notre Dame. This man single-handedly carried his team, and they still lost. They were had an opportunity to win if their quarterback didn't throw a pick, but this man was insane. He has explosive pass rush moves. He can make a defender or make it, you know, the left tackle miss instantly. He could go up the middle, play any of those positions on the D line. He could potentially even play linebacker if you put him there. Just an all-around versatile player who, ironically, is drawing comparisons to Micah Parsons, the former Penn State alumni as well. But another guy from Penn State I feel is amazing is Tyler Warren, the best tight end in the entire draft. The best tight end, without a doubt. I think he won the award for best tight end as well. He was a significant part of, you know, Penn State's entire offense. I believe in the last game that they played, the ball was mainly thrown to him around 6 times, and I believe he scored a touchdown in that game too, but none of the other Penn State wide receivers even had a chance. They didn't even, you know, touch the ball for a touchdown or something like that. Or I feel like in the second half, they didn't even catch a football. That was the extreme part about it, which is the main reason why we lost, but, you know, I digress. But a lot of these players also post the combine, which we saw many great players be explosive and stuff like that. One being Matthew Golden of Texas. He had a 4.29, a 4.29 40. That single-handedly made him the number one wide receiver pick in the entire draft class. Now, of course, he could probably go outside of that, maybe near the 30th pick, because Xavier Worthy was the same thing, although Xavier Worthy wasn't as high as a draft prospect.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
He was only at high because of his speed, ironically, but he was blazing. Matthew Golden was blazing in that. He had a very successful combine. Jackson Dart showed his ability to throw. He was a leader out there. He put a good spiral on the ball, had great arm strength, and right now he has discussions right now of potentially being a first-round pick. I think we all know he's going to be a second-round pick. That I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's going to be a second-round pick. But I have, you know, people telling me in my inner circle, hey, like, this dude is the real deal. He could probably go in the first round if he has a good string of interviews right now. Try and see him somewhere in between that 20 to 30 range of him getting drafted. That's my projection right now. But also, I was talking before about Basil Tutten, the running back out of Virginia Tech. He also had a very, very good 40. Now, I'll say this. 40-yard dashes does not mean how good a player is going to be. We saw that with John Ross. Okay, we already saw that before. But when teams look at these guys, they look at, you know, guys that did pan out, that didn't run their 40, but you knew they were blazing, like Tyreek Hill for the Kansas City Chiefs. And all the other teams want that because in the NFL, speed does kill. We're going to say speed does kill. But when you have speed, it just makes it a lot easier for you to be incorporated to the offense, to pull away downfield ahead of the defenders. So that's the reason why it matters so much. And for Basil Tutten, he had a very, very fast one for 4.32, you know, seconds. He has a, you know, very, very good abilities in the receiving game. I expect him to probably be the first receiving player to be taken off his draft. I really do. He's one of the best running backs in the nation. I think second to only Ashton Jeanty, and I'm trying to remember that one player from Arizona State. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't. I don't know exactly what his name is, but that's what it is. But honestly, what I project right now is that the Jacksonville Jaguars could potentially make a swing to the trade at the number one overall pick, because the Titans are kind of unsure, and you know, in drafting either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, but they don't really have a solid pick right now. And honestly, the draft picks in this NFL draft are not as good as, you know, draft picks in last year's NFL draft, or maybe a couple years before that in that NFL draft, in the 2021 one. Which, by the way, that 2021 NFL draft, besides the quarterbacks, looks absolutely amazing. But I digress. The Jacksonville Jaguars probably trade up to number one, potentially going with Travis Hunter with the number one overall pick, or Abdul Carter, one of the two. And then the Cleveland Browns are either taking whoever's left, Abdul Carter or Cam Ward. And then my Giants are probably most likely taking our quarterback, which we most definitely need. We've been needing a good quarterback for the last, how many years? 6+ years. But I believe we could find our franchise guy in this NFL draft, without a doubt. Considering all the talent that we got there, it's going to be insane. And even if we don't get, you know, our go-to player in the first round, we could still potentially get Jackson Dart in the second, in case he is still available there. Or maybe a guy like, I don't know, Dylan Gabriel. I know he's very old, but at the same time, who cares if he's going to play good as a rookie? And then you got, you know, Will Howard. Many people undersleep on Will Howard. I'm going to say that right now. Many people just think Will Howard's not good just because he had one bad day as a combine, or because of the fact, oh, he was at Ohio State, and Ohio State has all these weapons, and Jeremiah Smith was doing blah, blah, blah. He was still the guy throwing the ball, y'all. He was still the guy putting the ball in their hands, right? So that means he was a contributor of that offense. That's like saying C.J. Stroud wasn't a good player. Now, I'm not saying C.J. Stroud is on the same level as Will Howard, because no, C.J. Stroud is, you know, miles above. But what I'm trying to say is nobody said that really with C.J. Stroud a lot. And the people that did regretted it, because guess what he did in his first season? He excelled and had, at the time, what was the best quarterback season in the history of the game, which only got beaten by Jaden Daniels this year, but, you know, same thing, basically. But honestly, I love the path of what this draft is going to come to. It's almost draft month. It's April 27th. We're like 2 months away right now at this point. So I'm very excited for what we have to, you know, come with the NFL draft. That's going to be amazing to watch, y'all. But switching over to the NBA, Kyrie Irving recently, just, you know, a couple of minutes ago too, y'all, that he got a torn ACL in his game against the Sacramento Kings recently, which has him sidelined for the rest of the season. Now, I'll say this. This is very, very bad for the Mavs. Very mad. I mean, their playoff chances just diminished. It went from like a 56% likelihood to an 18% likelihood, which is very, very bad. First, I mean, the Mavs season has just fallen off so bad. First, you got the Luka Doncic trade. Then AD rolls his foot, you know, a sideline indefinitely. You got Jonas Valanciunas. His foot is also injured. Kyrie Irving also just tore his ACL. It's just, being a Mavs fan cannot be this bad, bro. I swear to God, Nico Harrison got y'all on suicide watch. This is just, it's bad, man. I still don't understand why he did that trade in the first place, because right now, it's backfiring so bad. It's backfiring. AD got injured in his first game. I mean, Maxi Christie, he's been solid. But Luka coming to the Lakers changed everything for him. Literally changed everything. If you guys didn't know, the Lakers in December were the 10th seed in the Western Conference, meaning they were fighting for a spot in the play-in tournament. They could have been gone out of the play-in in a couple of games. But ever since they traded for Luka Doncic, their defense has gone better. Their offense has been more versatile all around. And so many people are hating after this trade, saying, hey, guess what? The Lakers don't have a center. They don't have a good front court up there with, you know, they only have Jackson Hayes, blah, blah, blah. But they are communicating well. It's a whole new team, a whole new energy. LeBron looks like he's 27 years old again. It is just so amazing to see the Lakers, you know, succeed so well. And because I'm a Lakers fan. Hate me if y'all want. I'm a Lakers and Knicks fan. Always will be. Always have been since day one, right? But we've seen this so many times of Nico Harrison and memes just of him getting robbed, which he did get robbed in this trade. But just the fall off that the Mavs have had ever since that trade, what happened with that trade, it was insane. Another thing is with the Memphis Grizzlies, which they are having a very, very good season. They've had, ironically, I feel like, is the best bench in the NBA. I believe, what's their record? They're 38-23, which means they are best for third or fourth in the Western Conference right now, which is very good with a playoff spot. But we don't really know right now, y'all, if Ja Morant is going to be sticking with the Memphis Grizzlies this entire time. It's because there are discussions of a contract extension that he is eligible for this summer, and they have a difference of opinion on how much Ja Morant's stock value is actually worth. There are some saying that he is, you know, a super max contract player when he plays. Keyword, when he plays. And also, there are concerns about his maturity. Because we saw a couple off seasons ago, him pulling out, I can't say it on stream, but if y'all are watching on YouTube, you know what I'm talking about. We'll just call it a pew-pew. And he pulled that out on a live video. The NFL, you know, got mad over it. You know, they, you know, suspended him for a very, very long time during the season. I believe he was investigated, stuff like that. Charges were filed. So you're really wondering if you're the general manager, Zach Kielman, that if this guy is really your franchise guy. Because y'all have looked good without him and good with him. Which was ironic. It's been the same way, you know, multiple off seasons ago, and it's been the same way now. This isn't scrutinizing if Jaw's, you know, a good or bad player. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is his management is saying, hey, look, we don't know if you're worth at Supermax. If you take a smaller deal, we are looking to, you know, re-sign you. Which, ironically, I feel like they're going to do. Will Ja take that? I don't know. Time will tell. But the tensions for this contract extension, for what I hear, are very, very tense at the moment. But also, I want to transition over to the WNBA because there is a lot of stuff, you know, happening now. Serena Williams, yes, you heard Serena D. Williams, the famous tennis legend, is also investing an ownership stake with the Toronto Tempo, the WNBA's newest first Canadian team and newest extension to the WNBA. I love it how this team is, or how this league is getting bigger and bigger, and they're adding more and more teams. You guys got the Valkyries most recently versus Seattle team, I believe, coming back. I mean, what else? There's also this new Tempo that we're getting, and it's coming, I believe, in either 2026 or 2027. I'm pretty sure it's 2026, though. And to have a Canadian, you know, basketball team is very, very crucial because in the NBA, we already have the Toronto Raptors, and there was no WNBA team for, you know, Canada at all. There hasn't been in the 20-plus, you know, history that this league has been, you know, existing. So the ability to see that and to see, you know, this sport thriving as a whole, I'm very, very happy with that. You know, I could sleep at night knowing that this league is getting better and better and better. Also, speaking of that, Diana Taurasi, a legend, a absolute legend. If y'all don't know, she's a former UConn Husky. I have to rep. She's a former UConn Husky, you know, one of the best to ever wear the jersey. and also was one of the best in the history of the game. She retired. She was a champion of all levels, y'all. She had an amazing career. I honestly don't feel like there's ever been a player with the resume that Diana Taurasi has had. Ever. She was a champion at UConn. She's been a multiple-time champion in the WNBA. She's a multiple-time gold Olympic, you know, player with six of them. Multiple all-star appearances. Multiple, you know, first-team all-WNBA. Many times where she was, you know, most clutch player, stuff like that. How people, like, on websites put that stuff. But you know what I mean. She's just an absolute legend of this game.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Retired at around 40-something years old. She's been in this league for so, so long, but have to embrace that, too. She was a legendary player. Without a doubt, one of the greatest players in WNBA history. Without a doubt. Enjoyed her retirement. She is more than, you know, deserving of that. Also, I also got to say this. The Sparks also did another trade. You guys are probably like, what? What are you talking about, CJ? Didn't they just have the one for, I forgot. Oh, my God. Kelsey Plum. They just had a trade with Kelsey Plum. Well, I guess they're being aggressive because we just learned that they acquired 2 second-round picks from the Storm in exchange for Lexi Brown and a 3rd-round pick, which is insane, basically. They're able to grab somebody in the 2nd round, which makes up for the fact that they have no first round pick because they did trade it for Kelsey Plum, which is a good thing to do. You guys weren't going to get Paige Buckers, you know, ironically. The Dallas Wings have very much momentum in drafting her, without a doubt. But also, the Fever signed Sydney Colson as well, a very dynamic player. She's a 2-time WNBA champion. She has amazing depth. She adds, you know, a much depth to the lineup that's already been bolstered up in the Indiana Fever. She gets to team up with players like Caitlin Clark up in there. So it's going to be good. It's going to be fun to see. This WNBA season is going to be amazing, y'all. I'm really going to think because we got so many things going on, so many players going to different places. I also want to go to the WNBA All-Star, you know, weekend competition or, like, weekend just to, like, do media stuff. How do y'all feel about that? I'm going to be asking y'all that. I want to hear in the YouTube comments, I'm sorry, I can't speak today, but I want to hear it in the YouTube comments what y'all think about that. Should I go to WNBA All-Star Weekend? Should I not? Hey, anything is possible, bro. Anything is possible at all. But going off that, though, also, too, is that in the MLB, also, there's been some stuff going on. What's going on? I'll tell y'all right now. Disney is ending one of their long-term participations or long-term partnerships with the MLB, right? And it's been 35 years, right? And they're deciding to terminate the network with the MLB, which means ESPN is no longer going to have the rights to the Major League Baseball. Not anymore. Which was valued at around $550 million every single year. Which means it's ending 3 more seasons earlier than expected. It was planned to, you know, run until 2028. And right now the MLB is right now looking for new broadcast partners to look with. It's mainly because ESPN doesn't feel, you know, the Major League Baseball system is grabbing as much money as it used to, which ironically it's not. When you have all these teams playing hundreds of games for 6 months straight, people are just, you know, going to get sick of it. They're going to get tired, which is what I love about football because you have one game every week. You have one game every week, and it doesn't get stale. In the NBA, yeah, they have 82 games, but you're comparing that to the hundreds of games in the MLB. And also in the NBA, it's fun. It's indoor, compact. Baseball is a fun sport. It's fast-paced, stuff like that, which gives it momentum like that. And they have superstars that are known all across the world. So that cancels out that, but it makes sense why Disney wants to end that partnership that early. It makes a lot of sense. Of course, it's sad. We saw the end of the era with ESPN with that. But, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's all I wanted to go over, y'all. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I wanted to go over March Madness, too. I'm going to be honest. But at the same time, that doesn't happen. I don't even need to do that until I come with my partner next week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need to do that. That being said, too, I want to know what y'all think as well. Put another comment in the comment section on who y'all think I should partner with next. All those people that are at my college, put a little tag, stuff like that, of who y'all want on this stream, because I'll bring them. Last week, I had a good group of guys with, you know, Soph, with Zilla, Sam, Devin. All those guys were all good, had a bunch of knowledge. Y'all saw it last week, you know, bringing up that college basketball stuff. That takes some dedication to name some college basketball guys that, you know, a bunch of people wouldn't know about. I'm talking about me. Ironically, I don't watch college basketball like that, or, you know, high school hoops like that. But, you know, they were rocking, man. And I want to bring more people like that to the scene. I feel like at times, bro, I feel like at times y'all get tired of my voice. Y'all get tired of the way I'm, you know, speaking. You know, you only hear my opinion, which is ironic. But what you gonna do? I mean, I'll bring another person on. Hell, I don't care. Right before spring break, I'll bring one on. I really will. Also, this isn't related to sports, but there were high tensions in politics, too, over the past week. I don't like to get into politics, but that meeting with Zelensky, I know it was, like, so bad. I'm sorry. But, like, that was very, very bad of an argument. It does not make our country look any good, any sort of way that's good. So, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have brought that up, but, like, it's just, it was such a big thing over the weekend that I feel like I also have to bring it up. And also in connection to this, by the way, y'all, that does actually make some sense in sports context. Stephen A. Smith is also a potential lead candidate for the 2028 Democratic Party. What does that mean? It means that Stephen A. Smith, the broadcaster, ESPN guy, has been a staple of the company for over the past decade or two. He's been that type of dude. He's been confidence and, you know, had brought self-awareness to, you know, politics and sports. And he's a leader right now for the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party is scrambling for a new candidate, a new person to potentially take the lead and take back, you know, control of the White House in 2028. So that's unique. I didn't see that until earlier today. So that's unique. I mean, do you? But, like, you know what I mean? I don't feel like it's going to happen. It's like a 2.8% that it actually does happen. And in the case of it is happening, I don't feel like Stephen A. Smith, ironically, would be beating out any Republican candidate, especially not J.D. Vance, anytime soon, especially with their party. I mean, crazy things have happened, I'll tell you that, but I ironically do not see it happening. And, oh, I forgot this one last thing. Forgot this one last thing, y'all. So, the Vikings are probably going to be letting go of Sam Darnold. They're probably not going to tag him, which means that he could test with other teams within the market as well, which means he could go to different teams, which I feel like the runner-up, you know, candidate's potential for a team like Sam Darnold would maybe be, you know, teams like, I don't know, the Giants, teams like the Jets. But at the same time, would he want to go to the Jets? I don't feel like he would want to go back to the Jets. I don't know, y'all. But I think he wants to go to a team, right, that is going to make the best business decision for him. A team that has assets. A team that has receivers that can catch for him. A team that has a good offensive line, a solid offensive line, and a team that has a good defense. You know, it's about building around that quarterback, unless, you know, that quarterback is, you know, somebody incredible like Jaden Daniels or something like that. But even at the same time, they do still have weapons. You can't just leave your quarterback in a situation with none of that, especially a guy like Sam Darnold. We saw what happened with the Jets. We saw what happened with the Panthers. He was able to revive his career this past offseason with the Vikings. But that's because he had Justin Jefferson. He had Jordan Addison. He had that good tight end. I forget. I just forget his name. TJ Hockenson, I'm pretty sure, unless he went to a different team. But he has all these guys and weapons. You know, I don't feel like he'd really want to leave that. But if he did leave that, he wants to go to a good situation that's going to have all those guys with him. Kind of like what Baker Mayfield's career has been, where he revived his entire career in Tampa Bay because he's had Mike Evans, a future first ballot Hall of Famer, by the way, 10 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons, just have to say. But he had him, he had Chris Godwin, he had a good tight end, he had Rashad White on the backfield, a good, you know, solid left tackle in Tristan Wirfs, a good offensive line that's been bolstered up ever since, you know, the leave of Tom Brady. So we're going to have to see what happens with that, man. I definitely believe, though, if you make a good team around Sam Darnold, you could have him bring you to the Super Bowl. It's happened with a bunch of other teams before. It's happened with the Eagles and Nick Foles. It's happened with the Panthers back in the day before they had Cam Newton. I don't forget what that quarterback's name was, but it was when in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. But I definitely feel like if you get weapons around him, you can make a lot of noise. A lot of noise. But with that being said, y'all, this is going to be amazing. This is going to be the second last before spring break. I thank every single one of y'all for listening. Thank y'all so much. Make sure to hit the subscribe button. Make sure to hit the follow if you're listening on Spotify or any other, you know, podcast platforms like that. And I appreciate everyone for watching. I'm sorry, I'm mumbling, I'm stuttering, I'm so nervous. I can't talk today. I had a lot of stuff going on. But I thank every single one of y'all for listening, for real. And y'all are some real ones. And this is CJ. Y'all been watching Game Day Gridiron. I'll catch y'all on the next one. We had to get it from A to B. Worlds never felt like this. Two seats in the hills, how I feel righteous. Blue sheets for the mills, but the deal priceless. New keys can't care what's built private. I might just double it up. Did it. Never enough. I'm with it. 5-2-3 on the business. Whole team got wins in the world. So spinning, I told them. What I told them. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top once again. Yeah. Ayy, I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on top. Got a spot and it's locked to the click all in. I got ops, if he drop, I just hit my dance. I was popped, they just watched, had to take my wins. They wouldn't let me in. I've been on 10 cents. Who really holding it down? I've been holding it down and I gold it again and again. Who was the dummy to doubt? I'm the coldest around, but he folding again and again. I'm in the what? I'm in the day. I'm doing 30 on 30 and up. You in the what? You in the way. Either you rolling or rolling the dust. You with us or what? Keep it running. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top yeah. Once again. Yeah. I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on top once again. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top once again. Yeah. Hey, I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on 10.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.